We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Thanks so much for getting in touch with us and hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way, and boy, I tell you what, you the whole Brewers, Mike Moustakas, Travis Shaw, I like the fact that David Stearns kind of clarified what was going on and what the thought process was with Moustakas. It was a lot of what we discussed yesterday, and people are up in arms that Moustakas was going to take the job from Travis Shaw, and Travis Shaw was going to play third, and Moustakas was going to be a second baseman. I just kept saying, just wait and see. And then eventually David Stearns kind of clarified it, basically saying, look, we're going to try Moustakas there, but Travis Shaw has been a hell of a teammate. He actually played a really good second base for us last year, and we're confident that if it comes to that, he'll go ahead and go back over to second, and they'll be good. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. No controversy, which is good. And I was glad that David Stearns kind of clarified. I mean, not to say that it wasn't anything Craig Counsell said wasn't erroneous. It was just something that everybody's ears perked up and then people ran with, and it didn't really turn out to be that way, so to speak. So, anyway, the Milwaukee Brewers back at it, and they're the position players are in camp. The giant kumbaya going on right now. And in addition to that, you've got a lineup that I was watching baseball, the MLB Network, and watching the baseball discussion last night. And I don't know what show it was. It was a roundtable of people, and they're going around the camps. And we got to get our buddy Plesac on. He's going to be in Brewers camp. He's going out to Arizona. I think it's here in the next week and a half. And he's doing the 30 for 30, the 30 camps in 30 days. And we got to get him on. He's actually going to be in the Cubs and the Brewers camp coming up here just before we get out there in March. But I was listening to some of the stuff that they were saying, and look, they're basically saying when you look at the lineups and you look at the power in the lineups and you look at the hitting ability in the lineups, specifically in the Central, the Brewers, it's the Brewers and the Cubs. You've got a pretty good lineup that LA throws out. Everybody's jumping on the Padres bandwagon in some way, shape, or form by saying if it's not this year, it's going to be next year, because they do. I mean, give credit to the San Diego Padres. They were very honest. They, much like the Brewers some years back, they tore it down, and now they're kind of building it back up. They have the best minor league system in all of baseball, and a lot of those guys are ready to come to the surface and start to perform. So they add Manny Machado, and he can be a guy that propels that. You hate to have a guy like that, that can be, as we've all seen, kind of a jag, a very selfish player. You hate to have that guy schooling your younger guys, but they believe he is also the piece that, as they begin to propel forward, he's going to be the guy, the igniter that makes that team move. So we'll see. But for the most part, everybody agrees that the Brewers have one of the top three lineups when it comes to 1 through 8 in the National League, and maybe the top five in all of baseball. Top five, top six. Boston's still really good. Everybody believes the Yankees are going to get even better. Obviously, they have a really solid team down in Houston right now. So everybody believes those three teams are really, really solid as well. Then you've got teams like an up-and-comer like Atlanta, obviously the Cubs, the Brewers. So, but your top five, top seven, somewhere right in there. But is this the best Brewers lineup ever? Now think about that. Is this the best Brewers lineup ever? Mull that over for a minute. Is this the best Brewers lineup ever? We're talking about Harvey's Wallbangers and everybody along with that. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Is this the best Brewers lineup ever? That's saying something now. That's saying something. When you talk about, you know, Robin Yount, think about this. On that team from 82, now the position players, you had Paul Molitor and Robin Yount as position players. They're both in the Hall of Fame. But you also had a Hall of Famer in Don Sutton. You had a Hall of Famer in Raleigh Fingers. You had Jim Gantner on that team. You had Don Money on that team, Charlie Moore, Ben Ogilvy, Ted Simmons behind the plate on that team. You had, obviously, Storm and Gorman Thomas. You had a scrappy guy, and Ned Yost was on that team. You know, think about it. You had Vukovic out there on the hill. I mean, you just had just awesome players. Just Cecil Cooper manning first base. That was a hell of a team. Hell of a team. Is this the best Brewers starting eight that you've had? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. You had Simmons behind the plate with Ned Yost as his backup. Cecil Cooper over at first. Jim Gantner, Paul Molitor. You had Eddie Romero, Robin Yount, Rob Piccolo backing up. You had outfielders in Gorman Thomas, Ben Ogilvy, Charlie Moore. You had Larry Heisel, Roy Howell, Don Money. You had just, I mean, really solid players on that team. And then that pitching staff I had mentioned. You had Raleigh Fingers. Who else was on that? Mike Caldwell was there. Pete Ladd was there. Let's see here. Pete Vukovic, Don Sutton, as I had mentioned, on that roster. Jamie Easterly was on that roster. Dwight Bernard. I mentioned Jerry Augustine. Yeah, I mean, you had a hell of a lineup. You had a hell of a lineup. Is this the best Brewers lineup in comparison? 855-830-8648. Or is it even better than what they had in 2008? Yay or nay? Let's go to the phone calls. Talk to Fred listening to us in Green Bay. Fred, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hi, Bill. Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Major League Baseball have what they call the Prime Nine, top nine outfielders, top nine infielders, et cetera. The Milwaukee Brewers of 82 was voted the second best infield in the history of baseball for one season behind the Philadelphia Athletics of 1913. They had a dynamite lineup, and I would take 82 over any of the Brewer teams after that.
Okay. They were a good team, no doubt. I completely agree with you.
Outstanding. And if I could ask you to do one more thing, Bill. Talk
sure.
About Don Newcomb for a few seconds today. We lost him yesterday,
yep.
And he's very significant in the fact that he started game three of the playoffs between the Dodgers and Giants in 51. And, was the subject of the most dramatic home run ever hit.
Yep. He died yesterday at the age of 92. Yeah. One of the greatest pitchers in Dodgers history, no doubt. Appreciate the phone call. He's really one of the final links to the days of Brooklyn, right? Roy Campanella, Jackie Robinson. Passed away. He had an illness been for some time. Born in New Jersey, I was reading, reached the pinnacle of his career in 1956 when he ended up winning the Cy Young and the NL Most Valuable Player Awards. That was as a Dodger, went 27-7 with a 3.06 ERA, leading the NL in fewest hits and walks allowed per nine innings. And he was named Rookie of the Year in 1949. But, as he had mentioned, I mean, one of the most famous pitchers in history, obviously, when it came to that franchise. He got traded to, and I remember he played for the Reds. My dad talked about him. I wasn't alive to see it, but he played for the Reds. He was with the Reds for three seasons, if I read that correctly, too. But then he ended up, actually, he got sold to Cleveland because he went to Cleveland. And he served in the military. He was in the, it wasn't World War II. I think it was Korean War. But Don Newcomb, yeah, passed away yesterday. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I want to hear from you. This portion of the program. By the way, it's brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. I was made aware, and I did not mean to say this, but our friends at Cousin Subs, they listen all the time. And I had said the other day, I was doing one of the reads for Cousins, and sometimes I do the read, sometimes I just wing it. But the Reuben is back, and we talk about the Reuben all the time for what they have going on over at Cousin Subs. It's Reuben, it's we all know, it's corned beef stacked a mile high. They've got the Wisconsin Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing, and I had said on the pretzel bun, it's not a pretzel bun, it's rye bread. It's stacked on the rye bread, and I think out of just... out of my past mentality, I said pretzel bun. But it's rye bread, which makes it an even tastier combination. And that's sure to make your taste bud do a little dance. Don't forget, add the side of fries or the Wisconsin cheese curds, the Radio Joe cheese curds. You can order the Reuben online right now. Limited time, by the way. Go to CousinSubs.com. You can download their app. And at specific locations right now, the best part about it is they will bring it to you. Yes, delivery now being made available at select locations. Call your local Cousin Subs. Check in online. Go to Cousin Subs where they believe in better. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. But make sure you get it on the rye bread because the pretzel bread, that's no more. Even though pretzel bread's good, the rye bread's even better. That's why they believe in better because they go with better. That is our friends from Cousin Subs. So is this the best Brewers lineup ever produced? Second, third best? You tell me, or is it better than 2011? You can go through side by side with 2011. Is this better? Last year, Ryan Braun said, look, they had stars on that team, but as far as overall depth, this team from last year was better. I think they even got deeper now. Your thoughts, 855-830-8648. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about as good a lineup as I've ever been a part of, if you look at it on paper. And on top of that, it just adds to our depth. You know, as we all know, throughout the course of a season, your depth will be tested. So the more quality players you have that are starting on an everyday basis as well as coming off your bench, the more beneficial it is as you inevitably deal with adversity as a team. So he makes us a lot better. He adds to the depth and strength of our lineup. And I think it just really does lengthen that lineup 1 through 8, no question.
There you go, Ryan Braun talking about the lineup that is the Milwaukee Brewers. Welcome back to the program. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad you're on board today. If you want to get a hold of the program, it's easy to do so. Simply 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That is on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MilHockeyTalk line. You can find us there. Always a pleasure to take your phone calls. Is this the best? Now that you've got everything pretty much in place, is this the best Brewers lineup? 1 through 8, is this the best Brewers lineup? Yelich, Kane, Braun, Moose or Shaw, Arcia, Moose or Shaw, Aguilar, and Yasmani Grandal behind the plate. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Think about it now when you talk about the overall ability to... Who's the weakest link in that lineup? I mean, if Arcia hits the ball the way he did in the second half, it probably isn't Arcia. If Grandal, he gives you what everybody expects him to give you, then it's probably not going to be him. Maybe the all or nothing of Jesus Aguilar, but he hit the cover off the ball really in the first half of the season. Maybe first, five-eighths of the season before cooling off in the latter portion. It certainly isn't Yelich. Certainly isn't Kane. And even Braun, for a down year, hit .265. Think about it. Who's the weakest link in that lineup? That's pretty strong. I don't expect this team to go through any kind of a prolonged slump like we saw a couple of years ago. 855-830-8648. That's a hell of a lineup. And then you've got depth on the bench and the ability to play a lot of guys in different places. You got versatility there. Pretty confident if you're a Brewers fan about this group, I would think. I would assume, anyway. Got a lot of people chiming in via Facebook, also on Twitter, at Bill underscore Michaels, at Bill underscore Michaels on Twitter. You can also track us down via email, simply BillMichaels at BillMichaelsSports.com. Nope, 1996 and 1982 Brewers lineups were way better. I'd probably take one of the Prince Braun Hart lineups as well, top five. Could see this lineup having three positions hit under 250 or 260. What three positions are hitting under 250, 260? Shortstop, first base, and then what? I wouldn't say, I mean, under 260? I wouldn't think that it's going to be anybody that Travis Shaw had a little bit of a down year last year, but a really solid first year. You expect him to bounce back a little bit. Arcia, if he doesn't get off to a slow start and gives you a full season, he's going to be fantastic. Jesus Aguilar, kind of like I'd mentioned, an all-or-nothing kind of guy. But, that's tough to say. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Let's go to back to the phone calls, talk to Brian on the south side. Brian, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Doing good. Yourself?
Doing well so far. What's on your mind?
Okay, I hope the drive-in was okay for you.
It was good today.
The weakest link, I would say, is Arcia. That would be it. My head scratcher, yeah, he produced big time in the playoffs, but throughout the season, more often than not, he didn't. And it would be nice to see him bounce back, but that would be my head scratcher right there.
Okay. Yeah, he appreciate the phone call because the way he performed in the postseason and really towards the end of the season kind of redeemed a lot of the problems that he had early on. Going back to the Twitter that said in the 96 team, 96, Mike Matheny had a batting average of .204, an on-base percentage of .243, an OPS of .584. You had Jaha, obviously had a big year that year, .941 OPS and a .300 batting average. There was Fernando Vina. Fernando Vina, forgot all about him. He got so mad at me, I called him Jose Ole. Oh, him and Jose Valentine. Jose Valentine, he ended up hitting .259 that year with an OPS of .811. But Jose Valentine, remember, boy, I tell you what, there was more balls that got through the wickets on that guy than a croquet field. Jeff Cirillo, big year that year, hit .325, .280 for Greg Vaughn, but a .240 for Pat Listash in that season. He didn't necessarily knock the cover off the ball. Kevin Seitzer, .316. So they had a pretty good lineup, but I don't know if it was a lot dramatically better than what you have right now. I don't know if I'd take that lineup over this year's lineup. You got some good power numbers here. You've got good on-base percentage here. You've got good OPS here. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Bob listening to us in De Pere. Bob, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Morning there, Bill. Hey, I wanted to talk about Jesus Aguilar here for a minute. I don't know if you brought this up yet, but he suffered the All-Star Game curse because he entered the Home Run Derby, and a lot of times when that happens, the player will slump after that. Can you comment on that?
Well, it's kind of like a fact. I don't know how else to put it. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know how else to put it. It's got guys that get into that Home Run Derby come out and for whatever reason struggle. They change kind of the hitch in their swing a little bit. Elbows up, trying to drive the ball and pull the ball, and they can develop some bad habits. Who was it that, and I hate to use him as a point of reference because I think he's kind of an ass, but Joey Votto was asked, said, if you know, would you ever do the Home Run Derby again? He said never. He would never do it again. He got into such a bad habit coming out of the Home Run Derby. He said it just wasn't worth it. And Aguilar struggled a little bit coming out of the Home Run Derby. He kind of got his swing back for a short period of time before getting into the postseason. And then once he got to the postseason, it was all downhill from there. But it does screw with people. It really does. I mean, the guy that won it, in Bryce Harper, he still hit some home runs after he had gotten out of the All-Star game, but still his overall season was a down season. I think he was pressing because he knew he was going to free agency and wanted to have that big, massive year to guarantee himself the $400 to $500 million everybody just assumed he was going to get. By the way, speaking of Bryce Harper, now they are saying Bryce Harper will not sign for less than $350 million. We'll see if that actually ends up happening. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, do it. @Bill_Michaels. @Bill_Michaels. The Lonesome Kicker says 82. Molitor, Young, Cooper, Ogilvie, Thomas, Simmons, Moore, and Gantner. That was an unbelievably solid team. I mean, they were really, really good. They were, yeah, Harvey's Wallbangers were really, really good. Big time. Big time good. 855-830-8648. When you start looking at that group, I remember even then, and remember, I was, sophomore in high school at the time back in 82. I remember rooting for the Brewers in the World Series. I hated the Cubs. Ozzie Smith was tremendous, but I kept thinking Ozzie Smith was Dave Concepcion never got his due because of Ozzie Smith and Davey Lopes. It was always those two guys that everybody was talking about being one of the best shortstops. And we just watched up close and personal, day after day, year after year, Davey Lopes make these unbelievable plays. And he never got his due. So I really kind of grew to hate Ozzie, because all they would ever show for Ozzie is, yes, the Wizard of Oz had some spectacular plays. There's no doubt about it. He was a Gold Glover and deserved it. But every time I'd see a highlight, it was always him running out onto the field doing his backflip. And I'm thinking, what the hell does that have to do with baseball? You know, and then you'd see Dave Concepcion make two or three or four dives in the hole and throw guys out from me to you and never get any due for it. But then again, I mean, back then, you're talking about the infancy. You didn't even have SportsCenter and such, ESPN back then, I don't think. I think that, what is that, starting 83, 84, maybe 85 was when that came around. So you didn't see ESPN. Was it 70s?
79.
79, was it really?
Some of the country.
Well, then again, I didn't get cable until I was in high school.
Milwaukee about
83. Milwaukee in 83? Okay. 855-830-8648. When we come back, we will hear from the general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers, David Stearns, talking about Moose and talking about many other things. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. Glad to have you. Sitting here reminiscing about the days growing up. I remember in 82, this town was on fire and the Brewers had one hell of a team. I followed the Brewers because I was a Hank Aaron fan. I followed the Brewers because I wanted them to beat the Cardinals. So there was already a connection here for me before I even moved here in 99. But I grew up watching the Reds back during the days of Riverfront Stadium and coming out of Crosley Field and the Big Red Machine. And we're just sitting here talking about going around that infield with Bench and Perez and Morgan and Concepcion and then Pete Rose down at third and then George Foster, Ken Griffey Sr., Jose Geronimo out in center field. I mean, that was a hell of a team. And you had Dan Dreesen backing up down at first base. You had some solid players. You had Bill Plummer was the backup catcher behind Johnny Bench. And Raleigh Eastwick and Jack Billingham. And, I mean, they had a hell of a team. I grew up watching that and watching that. I was there at Game 5 in 1975 as they were taking on Boston in Game 5 at Riverfront Stadium, sitting like two rows from the top with my mom. My mom was they had a support club called the Rosie Reds. It was for women. And my mom used to get four sets of tickets a year. And my dad always worked. My dad was always on the road. So my mom and I would always go to the game. They always find a babysitter for my sister. So my mom and I would always go down to the games. Or she'd give them to me and then drop us off. And then we'd probably catch the bus back home. And I was taking a bus when I was in like freshman of high school or eighth grade. Can you imagine doing that today? It'd be like parent abuse or something, you know. But man, I loved it. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget the Quick Rewards card. You can grab that right now, today, if you choose to do so. Stop in any Quick Trip. And when you grab that and you get a new card as a new card holder, you'll get 10 cents off per gallon of fuel with your first fill-up, up to 30 gallons. Not a bad way to go. Pick up a Quick Rewards card at Quick Trip today or download the free Quick Rewards app and get signed up right here, right now. That is from our friends at Quick Trip. Today only $1.29 for the Kitchen Cravings Cheese Mountain Pizza Slices. So if you want to stop in and get some pizza slices, you can do that as well. David Stearns talking about the Moose signing and helping their ever-evolving lineup.
the 1-8 that we map out on opening day isn't going to be the 1-8 that takes the field every single day. And so we want to be prepared for that, but we do think that with the quality of options we have around the diamond, we'll be able to mix and match and get a good lineup out there every single day.
And David Stearns also says that shows that Mark Attanasio is willing to go out and spend the money if it's all going to be for the right cause.
Look, I think our ownership group is making a statement that they're willing to stretch beyond our previous limits and give us the resources that we need to continuously compete. And this was a move that was supported by ownership. And we're very fortunate that we have a group led by Mark that's willing to stretch to our limits and make these types of investments in the team.
Also, he says that, look, they will have, if indeed they need a piece, they will have the flexibility to spend this summer.
We'll see. Look, I think there are always limits as to what you can do. We certainly got a little bit more aggressive this year than probably in free agency, than probably we anticipated at the front end of the offseason, and that was due to the opportunities that were presented to us. So we may have to take that into account in July, but we'll see where we stand at that point and make our plans then.
Also, Stearns says, look, if Moustakas is the right fit at either third or second, and however they figure this thing out, it'll figure itself out.
We think it's the right fit, and we know what Mike did for us in the second half of last year when we brought him over from Kansas City. He really fit into our club seamlessly. I know he had interest in coming back here, and we certainly had interest in bringing him back here. So on both sides, I think we're very happy we were able to make it happen.
Here's the big question. Does he think Moose can play second base?
I think first, he came up as a shortstop, right? He played a lot of shortstop as an amateur and was a very good shortstop. And in the limited exposure we had with him over there, whether it was in the shift or when taking some ground balls when we first acquired him, his feet work very well around the bag. So we believe he can handle it. We know Travis can handle it. They're both very quality third basemen, so we think we have some good options, and we'll let it play out over the course of the spring.
Looking forward to that is both guys are going to get a shot over at second base. Now, Cern says that Shaw, when they thought about bringing Moose in and they wanted to say, okay, we're going to shift guys around, they talked to Travis Shaw, and the fact that he said, look, let's whatever's best for the team, let's do it.
As the process gains momentum, I spoke to Travis, Craig spoke to Travis. We made sure that he understood what the plan was going to spring training. Travis has been a great teammate throughout. He eagerly and willingly tried out second base in a really challenging situation last year when he didn't have the luxury of a full spring training. And so Travis wants to win. And if adding Moose gives us a better chance to win, he's all for it.
He wants to win. Obviously, eventually, he's going to want to make some money. So if he ends up playing some second and can play third and keeps his average up, then look, the versatility is only going to make him that much more valuable. And David Stern says, look, spring training, they're going to get a chance to see both guys and who's going to end up playing second base.
We get to see how it works best within the constructs of our roster and gives Craig just additional flexibility in setting our lineup every single day. So we'll see both guys over at second base during the course of spring. I know Mike's really excited to get over there, and we're excited to see him over there.
In addition to that, now the defense itself, I mean, you're always strongest up the middle and you're weakest up the middle. So depending on the strength of guys that can really fortify defensively your team, that's where you're at. And Stern says that the Brewers defense, it's trying to get itself prepared overall with both guys over at short, Arcia working with whatever second baseman happens to be there and whoever's backing them up and shifts and all that kind of stuff. They're all preparing for the switch.
With the amount of space we ask our infielders to cover in various configurations, that positions sometimes aren't what they used to be. Both Travis and Mike have done a really nice job on that side of the infield in shifting formations. And so this really doesn't change a whole lot for them.
Now, Stearns, I like the fact that he said, look, we're going to give Moose a shot. It's not as if he doesn't play well at second base. He's not going to play. They're just going to figure out what configurations work best. And we talked about that yesterday. I'm not overly concerned about who will and will not play second base. Let me ask you this. I mean, do you feel that this team is weaker overall if they do not have a regular everyday true second baseman? You know, think about it. Are they weaker? Okay, maybe defensively, maybe by a step shy. Maybe you get a seeing eye ground ball that gets past them every now and then. Maybe that does extend an inning. Maybe it does put a few more pitches on some pitchers' arms. Maybe that does end up hurting them as they go towards September and into the postseason. So we'll see. But I think offensively, they're as strong top to bottom as we can remember probably in a long time. And you remember a couple of years ago when the Brewers were right there in the thick of things, and then that offense went into a dive. They couldn't find offense if their life depended on it, and it became top to bottom, and they had a lot of sinkholes. I said last year when they brought in Kane and Yelich, the sinkholes are now gone. You're going to have guys that can move runners, the guys that can get on base and put the ball in play. And then we saw Christian Yelich for a period of time. Just, and not only did he hit well all season long, but he hit astronomically for about a three-week period where he had hit for the cycle a couple of times, and he was just out of his mind. So those sinkholes, I believe, offensively are gone. Can it happen? Sure it can. Look at what happened to the Cubs last year. You know, the Cubs, towards the end of the season, it was all or nothing. They would score 10 runs or they wouldn't score. So if you could get the Cubs through six or seven innings and you gave up only one run, chances are you were going to win that ball game. Unless, of course, you weren't hitting the ball yourself, because that's just what happened to the Cubs. They had a pretty sizable lead, and then they frittered it away, and the impossible became probable. So I think this offense is about as good as it's been in a long, long time. I think it might even be better than what they had back in 2011. I know some people don't want to believe that because the power numbers were so big coming from Fielder and coming from Braun and the back-to-backs that they had and the walk-off homers and the walk-off moments and the exciting times. But I think top to bottom, this might be a deeper team overall that gives them more flexibility. So I'm excited for what the Brewers are going to bring to the table. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. We are headed to spring training and getting ready to get out of here in the next couple of weeks, and really looking forward to it. And we're going to be down there, brought to you by a lot of great people. My buddy, Dr. Paul Levine. Paul Levine, I call him Doc Paul. He's a premier resource for comprehensive range of family and cosmetic dental services. Levine Dental, go to L-E-V-I-N-E, levinedental.com. And believe me, when I say, look, your smile, it's in the best of hands. It really, really is. Whether you require just a dental checkup, cosmetic smile makeover, restoration, or emergency care. I mean, like I've told you time and again, I called the guy in the middle of the night and said, man, I'm dying over here. And he said, okay, I'll meet you at the office. He's welcoming patients of all ages for care, and they're a convenient one-stop destination for all of your family's dental needs. That's Dr. Paul Levine from Levine Dental. Also, our buddy at Mike Mack, the tax accountant, the tax attorney, and he does a fantastic job as well, especially this time of year. Check out MikeMack.com, a proven track record of helping Wisconsin residents and business owners eliminate tax problems. That's Mike Mack. Go to MikeMack.com. That's MikeMack.com. And our buddy Joe and the whole crew out at Sloppy Joe's Saloon and Spoon. They've got the barbecue brisket, which is beyond fantastic. The ribs, steaks, shrimp, fish fry Fridays. They have live music. Sunday, the breakfast is so good on Sunday morning, 9 to noon. That is fantastic. That is out in Hubertus on Hubertus Road. Sloppy Joe's Saloon and Spoon. And when you stop in, look for Joe. Tell him we said hi from the Bill Michaels Show. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no way in hell I'm paying that. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So, there's no way I'd pay. Look, we get down to Super Bowl, and every year we start talking about what the ticket prices are. And the ticket prices very much depend on what the matchup is. I understand that. This year at Super Bowl, the average ticket price, by the time it was all said and done for people that paid to get in, was $2,674. Okay, that was the cheapest available ticket for the Super Bowl. Okay? So, right here, right now, today, if you want to go to this week's Duke North Carolina game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, it only holds, I think, anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000. I don't think it's that big. But if you want to go see that game between Duke and North Carolina, it is going to cost you $2,500. $2,500, the cheapest ticket available right now that's on the secondary market. That's it. One ticket, I think it was two rows off the court, mid-court, sold for $10,652. That's according to Vivid Seats. That's it. That's bananas, man, to see a regular season game. Now, Zion Williamson, he's good, but he's not LeBron James. Come on. They're comparing him to LeBron, but hey, come on. LeBron came out of high school and was dominating in the NBA almost immediately. Zion Williams is good, but come on. Come on. But $2,500 will get you in the door. $10,652 will get you two rows back mid-court for a Duke-North Carolina game. Is that not stupid or what? There's no way. I don't care if I'm the biggest Duke supporter or the biggest Carolina supporter. There is no way in hell I'm paying that kind of money to go see Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams. I'm just not. Now, some tickets for last year's national title game between Villanova and Michigan, they went for $67, some of them. That's per Vivid Seats again. The average price to attend North Carolina home games this year, $70. But the average price for the March 9th rematch against Duke is already at about $1,000. It's crazy. That is freaking crazy. By the way, Cameron Indoor Arena does. It seats 9,314 people, which they say is a significant factor in the skyrocketing prices. Or there's just a lot of stupid people, a lot of money out there. Maybe Manny Machado bought everybody a ticket. Who knows? But Duke, the number one team in America, is going to face number 8 North Carolina in the 46th matchup between the two programs. With both ranked in the top 10, Duke has won 23 such matchups. Carolina's won 22. That's according to stats, ESPN Stats and Information. And the Blue Devils right now a consensus 9-point favorite coming up tonight. The third highest spread between the two rivals as top 10 ranked teams since 1993-94. And the last time they were double-digit favorites, 2001, Duke was an 11.5-point favorite and lost that game. The total of 166.5 is also the fourth highest between the two teams in the past 15 seasons. So you're going to see a good game. You're possibly going to see an upset. You're going to see a high-scoring game, according to all the odds makers. And if you want to go to it and you want to be there a part of it live, it's going to cost you about $2,500. That's stupid. I don't think the Brewers have never won a World Series. Let me ask you this, okay? Maybe this might be a better question. The Brewers have never won a World Series. Game 7 of the World Series at Miller Park. Tickets are $2,500. Would you pay that to go see the Brewers win the World Series? I think there's a lot of Brewers fans that might, but I'd much rather watch it from the confines of either, one, my home, and then if they win it, run out on the porch and scream and yell with the rest of my neighborhood, or I'd go, like, to Stenny's, and I'd be down there with just Brewers fans packed and sandwiched in, screaming and cheering and going crazy. I don't know if I could bring myself to pay $2,500 to go see anything, much less a regular season game between Duke and North Carolina. Just my thought. You may differ, but what would you pay $2,500 to see? Seriously, what would you pay $2,500 to see? Joe, would you pay $2,500 to see Game 7 of the World Series with the Brewers playing?
If I actually made more money, sure. I can't afford that.
I don't think I would.
I you know what? Maybe this is because I've been in this industry for a while and I've been spoiled to watch a lot of games for free. I don't think I'd want to pay $2,500 for any game.
No.
For any game.
I agree. I don't think I would either.
Even if it was World Series. That's a lot of money. It's money I don't have.
Yep.
No thanks.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I just don't think I could bring myself to do it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. What would you pay $2,500 to see, if anything? If anything. Chime in. I can't imagine myself doing it. Just couldn't. There you have it. Hey, coming up in the next hour, got a lot of good stuff still on tap. Hang in there. I'm going to talk about the Bucks as they get ready for the last 25 games. Are you confident they're going to get to 60-plus wins? Are you confident? Come on. Bucks fans, chime in. Also, Jeff Patricus, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he's going to chime in. We're going to talk some Badgers, Badger hoops. We're going to hear from Mike Moustakas. Moose is coming up. Marquette back in action tonight against Butler. And are you really believing that they are a Final Four-bound team? We're going to talk with Eric Name of The Athletic, talk some Bucks basketball. Got a lot of green and gold chatter coming up in the last hour of the program with Paul Imig, our green and gold analyst, and Mike Clemens, our green and gold insider, both going to be here. So we're touching all the bases today, baby. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show. That is coming up next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.